Stock Eliminator to the lanes. We need Stock Eliminator to the lanes.
Welcome, everybody, to the Class Racing Podcast with Aaron and Chuck. Introducing your host, RaceToolsDirect.com's own Aaron Allison and the Cobra Jet flying Charlie Downing, better known as Chuck.
This podcast is proudly presented by Race Tools Direct, your source for all of your racing tools and equipment needs. Visit racetoolsdirect.com or call 440-941-8533 to order today.
Welcome to the 32nd Class Racing Podcast. Charlie, how you doing tonight?
Oh, it's another day of unemployment.
Yeah, well, this crazy COVID-19 pandemic world that we live in, unfortunately, you are a part of many.
Yep, but I'll take my 800 and some bucks a week and keep moving on, I guess.
Well, that's really all you can do.
Yeah. So it ain't the end of the world yet.
Well, I just, we want to get on here and do a quick podcast, try to keep it 30, 40 minutes and just, kind of update you guys on some of the stuff that is going on in the racing world. Obviously not a lot of racing, so we're not going to talk about results. But there's been quite a bit of action, some drama, announcements, cancellations. Unfortunately, we've had some deaths that have hit pretty close to home in the stock super stock world. And we figured we'd just kind of go over some of that, and maybe I got a little surprise for Charlie at the end there. We'll have a little fun. So you ready for that?
What a deal!
All right. So first of all, I think we've had there's been a few people that have racers that have died from the COVID-19 or complications from the COVID-19. Just wanted to quickly kind of mention them and, just have everybody keep their families and their prayers and things. I know that the Conkey family, they got hit hard and early. I mean, they were one of the first, I would say in the first 20 that died in Ohio. But father, son, and mother all passed away within, what was it, Charlie, 3 or 4 days?
I think it was within a day, man. Just a really, really devastating story. I mean, for those of you guys who knew, Louie and Judy and Dave, just a really sad deal all the way around. I mean, Louie was a great guy. I was fortunate enough to race with him for a lot of years, certain national events. He was one of those guys, a lot like myself, that would go after a lot of class racing national events, and I know him and the Russells and those guys, everybody go to Florida every year, back 15, 20 years ago, and places like Dallas and Virginia and Maple Grove. That's a tough one. I mean, I know Louie's had some health issues over the past couple of years along with Judy, but they looked like they were, kind of doing better, and then all of a sudden this thing comes in out of nowhere and not only, unfortunately, takes both of them, but also their son David with it. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I mean, it's so devastating and just really a sad deal all around. I mean, for the existing family members, to everybody in the racing community and all that, just, words can't really describe it,
Yeah, I mean, it's, definitely hit home for me. I had talked to David just, a few days before he caught, came down with the virus. He had called me and he was over the past couple of years, he had bought a new house and him and his wife, and they had, he just built kind of a dream shop for his cars. And, he had called me just a few days before this and said, hey, I want to order a lift for the garage, and we talked all about it, and he said, okay, well, he said, somebody in the family had died, not sure exactly who, but he was going to I talked to him like maybe a Thursday or Friday, and he was going to the funeral that weekend, and he said, hey, when he got back in town next week, he'd order it. We did all ship to him, and he And, you know, he was really excited to finally have his dream garage done. And from what I understand, they think that they may have gotten the all the family members kind of got the virus at that funeral for the other family member. So, you know, definitely hit close to home for me. Just, you know, we were definitely, you know, decent friends, and just talked to him a few days before. So pretty crazy. And, you know, I know there's been a few other racers that may or may not have had it that have died in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, we won't get into all the names. I think you said Al Provost potentially had it as well, they think.
Yeah, Al had been, you know, off and on having some issues with some health over the past few years, him and Bev both. You know, they kind of trade places. You know, Bev was doing bad for a while, and Al was doing good. And then they flip-flopped, you know, Al was doing bad and Bev was doing good, then they'd flip-flop back and forth, and then here in the last 2 months, Al, from what I understand, really just started kind of going downhill, and he had some other underlying issues, and you know, he passed away here, you know, late last week. But I mean, there's a guy, you know, started racing, I believe it was 1962. I mean, it's probably one class, you know, 100 times, had, you know, the airlift deal forever, Oldsmobile deal forever. You know, there, other than maybe Cal Method, probably not a more traveled guy, you know, through his 40, 45 years of racing. You know, up until the last few years, would still come to Indy with Kissinger and that, and a couple of us, you know, and have a real good time. And, yeah, that's a tough one for me. I mean, I've known Al for a long time since I was a little kid, and we always ran classes that were, you know, he run N and I would run M, you know, and always willing to lend a helping hand to somebody, and it didn't matter what it was, you know. And Al, he had a trailer, man. I mean, if you walked in there, you could find what you needed. You know, I remember I needed wheel studs for something. I broke one, and Al pulled out, you know, these six boxes. I mean, that trailer must have weighed, you know, 27 tons, because he just had, you know, all kind of studs and bolts and nuts and converter bolts and, you know, a spare 403 on the floor and a transmission up under there and a spare set of heads. And but just, you know, really good people, man. And just really sucks that, you know, we're getting, you know, a month and a half into this stuff, and it's, you know, we're starting to see some effects close to home, like you said, man. I mean, going back to Dave, I mean, we hadn't seen Dave in a couple of years, you know, him and Louis racing. You know, he come to Norwalk Points to me. It's the first time I'd seen him in a couple of years, and he parked right across from us, and that's what he was saying. He was building this garage, and he was getting back, and him and his old man, you know, he was getting, you know, pretty healthy, and they were going to, you know, try to run around and, you know, go to 6, 7, 8 races a year, and, you know, then all of a sudden just, you know, everybody looks to be doing good, and all of a sudden the rug pulled out from under you, man. It's just, it's really tough to sit and you know, think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and then, you know, it'll be very interesting, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, and we're sitting around at the racetrack, and we kind of look back on this time, and, you know, we'll have a lot more data by then, and we'll know, you know, was it as serious as we thought? I think so. Was it not? You know, we'll know more. And you know, when you watch the news, and depending on which news channel you watch, you hear crazy things in both directions. And, you know, at this point, I'm not sure exactly what to believe, but, I know that it is serious. How serious it is, you know, I don't know. But I, for one, am going to be a little careful, more careful than normal. You know, am I scared to death and not going to leave my house? I think no is the answer to that. But, you know, a little extra caution, I think is smart.
Yeah, and I think as this drags on, people are going to start to be more cautious. You know, in town here, we just had a young girl, I think 30 or 31. You know, she was a nurse, relatively fit, worked out all the time. You know, she got diagnosed with this last week, Wednesday, and Sunday she had died. I mean, no symptom, you know, no breathing. They'd done a scan and some other stuff, and, you know, basically not a smoker, not a drinker, no family history. And, you know, when you start to see stuff like that, it really been kind of the talk in our town. Is, you know, we'd seen some older people, you know, people had underlying health issues, you know, had caught this, and it kind of sped the process up. You know, and here and there, you read something in the paper, but, you know, when it starts, you know, getting, you know, basic, you know, high, people in their high 20s, low 30s, for age and, you know, no underlying health issue starts to, you know, get that. I mean, that kind of wakes everybody up and it's like, hey, you know, this is, you know, something we got to pay, you know, everybody's kind of looks at this differently. Some people, you know, it wasn't as serious as it was, you know, some people now it's more serious. So I don't know where this is going to go, to be honest with you. It's every day it seems to be changing, you know. I mean, you think that all these numbers are going down. And then, you know, we talked to a girl that works at U of M Hospital, and she's like, all of a sudden, you know, they'll have a batch of people that, you know, passed from this, and there's really no explanation. And that's kind of the scary part of this whole thing is, you know, when you can peg it to some underlying other previous health issue, you know, it makes us kind of feel like, well, you know, maybe it was this or this or this. But when you get these people that are outside the bell curve, you know, and, you know, basically nothing wrong, healthy, not overweight, you know, not a smoker, not diabetes or any of that, you know, it's really raises a lot of eyes for concern.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, let's talk about some facts and some things that have been announced. Last week, NHRA announced that they canceled four more Lucas Oil races. Pretty much anything in May was canceled.
You know, big shock. I think anybody with half a brain, you know, when they made that announcement, what was it, the 10th of April originally or the 7th? Everybody said, you know, everything's starting to get shut down until the 1st of May. This is going to be a slow reopen. I mean, most of us realized, you know, best case scenario is going to be June 1st, June 2nd weekend, you know, and that's what we all thought. We all thought it was a pipe dream, you know, to go to Chicago, pipe dream to go to Dallas, you know, all these points meets, especially when NHRA, you know, once again, this NHRA botches the ball as usual, you know, hey, we're not going to start national events till June, but points meets, yeah, we're going to try to work those in there, you know. I mean, it just doesn't. You know, if you're not going to start national events till June, you're not going to start points meets till June. I mean, it's not that hard, guys. The schedule that came out originally was just, you know, kind of a lackluster, half-ass attempt at, you know, keeping everybody somewhat in tune, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they were, you know, trying to be positive, trying to hope for the best, and...
At the same time, you know, we're 40 days in. Let's be a little realistic on this thing. I mean, you know, I think in some states, you know, we're not going to race in Chicago, you know, in July or June. I would be really surprised the rate that state's going, just like Michigan with our, you know, Governor Halfwit. You know, she wants to extend this deal another 28 days after the 15th, which puts us to mid-June. I mean, I'm sorry, if I was the all-star rep, I know how crazy I'm going to be to want to go to Joliet, you know, Illinois, here in July. You know, with this thing on the backside, sure. Chicago being what it is, and I'm going to be honest with you, I've been in Joliet a lot in my life. It ain't the cleanest town in the world, you know. It's pretty far from it. So I can tell you right now, even if that race goes down, you will not see my rig there. You can take that to the bank.
Yeah, well, I definitely feel safer in the old toter home than going to a motel or something like that. But, I think you make good points. I think, I know that we talked a little off air, but they, you know, come out with an article and the president of NHRA did an interview today saying that, you know, NHRA would have fans at the races that they had planned to start in Gainesville in early June and would proceed, you know, going forward with that schedule. I thought the article was, you know, I don't know exactly what he said, right, but the article I think came across as pretty bad compared to other sports and everything else that's going on.
It came across as, once again, total BS. You know, I mean, Cromwell in there, I mean, I don't know what planet the guy lives on, but he's in there quoting things like, you know, we get 2,000 to 5,000 spectators every day in a Lucas Oil race. So apparently he's never been to one of them, because I'd be willing to bet that on average, you don't sell 300 spectator tickets a day And I think it's probably closer to 100 to 50 tickets a day because
that's
I've seen the stands. You know, they're pretty – I mean, I guess if you count crew passes, maybe you could get to 1,000. But, man, that's really stretching it. So, you know, and it was just kind of one of those articles, you know, that he just pretty much told you what you want to hear. You know, didn't say, hey, we're going to start. It's going to be like, well, we'd like to start on this thing. We'd like to do this. You know, it's kind of like when Trump said he'd like to open up the country for Easter. He didn't say he was going to open it up. You know, he said, I'd like to. And it's what people wanted to hear. Everybody's like, yes, right. Everybody wants the country to open up, you know, and everybody to be safe. You know, but it's just, I thought it was basically, you know, a worthless article for the most part.
Yeah, and I think,
it's like, well, we want to have fans back, but, you know, we're a fan-heavy base, you know, which is correct. You know, it's probably one of the best bang for your bucks interaction-wise because you can go over into John Force's pits or, you know, Jason Lines or you know, I don't even know what pros are still around. I was going to say Schumacher, but he hasn't raced in a year and a half. You know, so interactive-wise, I mean, it's a very fan-friendly, you know, environment. You know, I don't know the TV contracts. I don't know this and that. You know, I mean, if they say, you know, hey, you know, Florida's not going to open up in June. This is not going to open up. You know, what are they going to do? Are they going to say, hey, we need to get some of these events off? Because I don't know what some of these sponsor contracts are with some of these pro teams. I mean, these sponsors right now are looking for an excuse to bail on stuff, a lot of them, because, you know, I've looked at some of the books, you know, some of these bigger businesses, and there's a lot of businesses that are down 60 to 80% right now in revenue for the last 30 days. Just because, A, they can't make parts, you know.
And I think reading that article, it definitely, you know, kind of confirmed some things. I'd always been told that, you know, like a NASCAR or an NFL, to the extreme example, you know, majority of the money that they make is all from the TV contract, right? But I've been told with NHRA that their TV contract is more or less a break-even deal. They don't actually make any money from the TV contract. In fact, I've even been told they actually pay. So I'm not sure exactly, you know, where they're at today. But I think they, you know, they really make their money from fans. And at the end of the day, if the fans aren't allowed to go, they're just not going to have the races.
I think normally I would agree with you, but I think at this point in time, NASCAR's got the right idea. The first one to the table wins. You know, like they said, they're going to go to Darlington or wherever it was, they're going to race. Because guess what, man? There's nothing on TV right now. I mean, every Sunday or Saturday, it's a basketball game from the 90s or an old NASCAR race or this iRace thing, whatever, that, you know, people are turning off and people are cussing and getting fired and bringing back old retired NASCAR guys to set in a simulator. I mean, that's cool once or twice. I watched it for about 10 minutes and I'm like, yeah, I really don't give a crap about this. You know, it's not a NASCAR race where they're bumping into each other. I mean, there's no risk. I mean, and that's what people want to see, you know, whether it's NASCAR or, you know, dirt bike racing or something. They want to see that risk where somebody can get hurt. I mean, that's the excitement of it for a lot of people. You know, they want to see John Ford, you know, bang the blower and the body come off and come crashing back down. You know, they want that, you know, 4 or 5 seconds of, you know, ultimate excitement. You know, man, I just, you know, saw this, you know, nitrous backfire, or, you know, the Ryan Newman thing was a little much, you know, but I mean, people love, like, Bristol and these short track races where every piece of these 10 on these cars are all banged up, you know. We watched an old NASCAR race from, I think it was, I don't know, 88 or 86 at Bristol when Earnhardt won. And, I mean, these guys, they're banging into each other, putting each other in the wall, coming back. And I'm like, man, dude, I knew who won the race 20 years, 30 years ago now, but I couldn't stop watching this whole NASCAR race because it was so interesting. Because, I mean, you're like, Waltrip and Earnhardt, they're banging off each other. Earnhardt's going low down through the grass, you know, banging back up into him, and they're fighting for position. And, you know, I mean, it was exciting to watch, even though it was a 30-year-old, you know, NASCAR race.
I agree, and you bring up a good point. And I read a book. I'm actually looking at it on my bookshelf right here. but it's called He Crashed Me, So I Crashed Him Back, okay? And what the whole book's about is basically how NASCAR became popular, how it kind of moved from this small, you know, regional sport in the Southeast to become a national, you know, sport that it's become now, and it definitely was in the mid-90s when it was just huge. But it really, the whole book is basically about one event that changed the course of NASCAR. And what they attribute to this, and you know, it's not just this book, but it's widely known and believed. So in 1979, the Daytona 500 was one of the first races ever televised from start to finish live, okay? And just happened to be the same weekend there was a huge snowstorm all over the country, East Coast, Midwest, Upper Midwest, just a huge snowstorm. So there's, you know, back then everybody had 3-4 channels max. There was nothing else to do. Everybody was in their house.
Yep.
And they're watching this NASCAR race. Well, it just turns out it was one of the greatest races ever. You know, with a lap to go on the last turn, the first and second place guy, I think it was Cale Yarborough and Bobby Allison or something, got into it, wrecked each other like 3 or 4 times all the way down the back straightaway into the turn. They wrecked. Richard Petty ends up winning the race. After the race, there's a big fist fight, you know.
Yeah.
And it becomes iconic. Everybody's seen that clip if you're remotely close to racing, right? And I think it's kind of funny, right, because that one little race, like, you know, was it the snow? Was it the good race? But, you know, all of a sudden, at the next race, which I think, if I remember correctly from the book, was like Bristol, right? And, you know, back then, you know, like national news reporters, they'd get like, you know, let's just call it 4 or 5 at like a race. Well, there's like 40 or 50 of them at Bristol the next weekend because everybody's like, whoa, what is this NASCAR? Whoa, this is sweet. When's the next race, you know?
Correct.
And all of a sudden it was popular. So, you know, could that happen with NHRA if they have races and get something on TV? I don't know. But I tell you what, when they're racing it Wednesday night at Darlington in a couple weeks, if that happens, and there's nothing else on TV, yeah, I'll be watching.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, I got some buddies and stuff, and they live, eat, breathe sports stuff, and they just opened golf back up in Michigan. These guys, they couldn't wait to hustle their ass to the golf course because they've been locked up, you know, no sports, no nothing, which is what these guys have done. They're all in their mid-30s. I mean, you know, they laugh because these guys are going insane right now because they're looking for any – it don't matter what it is right now, some kind of sporting event to do something. It doesn't matter if it was, you know, cricket or whatever, something that, you know, is live. And I think if NASCAR can pull this off, you know, people right now are bored, you know, it could bring some blood back to them that they desperately need, you know, because they've priced themselves out on ticket sales and, you know, bad economy back in 2008, you know, they never really recovered. You know, they've lost some icons. I mean, you know, 2001 when Earnhardt died, I mean, or 2000, it's 1 or 2, I can't remember. But anyway, you know, almost, you know, 19 years ago. I mean, they lost a giant. It'd be like, you know, if something happened to John Forrest, you know, with us, I mean, that would be a huge blow for NHRA, you know, to lose basically your superstar. I mean, there's other ones, but, I mean, you know, Dale Earnhardt was the big one for NASCAR and always will be, I think, and just like John Force, there'll never be another icon like John Force. I don't care what anybody says. No one will ever top that mountain. I don't care what anybody says.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, last thing I'll say on this national event thing is, you know, like, I don't know that I want to be the president of NHRA having the first major sporting event with like 20,000 fans there. So I think they need to walk before they run on that. And, you know, I think we need to test the waters a little bit on some of this.
I mean, that's the other thing. If I'm NHRA, you got a lot of double-edged sword on this because, well, let's say you go to Gainesville, right, and you run that race the 1st of June, which I'm going to call on the record saying I doubt that's going to happen. With Florida in the shape it's in right now, I predict a soft start back to opening up some of that stuff. I don't think they're going to let Gainesville happen. But I've been wrong before. But I'm going to say that doesn't happen. you know, are these fans going to want to come out? You know, I mean, the people in Florida, I'm not so sure that's, you know, especially in June in Florida, there's not a lot of young people, you know, out and about there like there is in March in that. You know, you got a lot of retired people that maybe don't live there. You know, there's a lot of snowbirds down there in that March time that we see when I race down there and you do. And a lot of those people are back up home now. You know, is the crowd going to be anywhere close to what it is? You know, it's not going to be close to what it was last year because last year was the 50th. But I'm telling you right now, even if I live 30 miles, let's say Norwalk opened up here, you know, and they said, hey, you can go down there and watch, you know, for free. They're going to have some, you know, this is hypothetical. The national event's going to be, you know, first week of June at Norwalk, and it's 90 miles from me. Man, mm-hmm. Between you and me, I also don't know if I'm going, you know.
I'm good. I mean, I'm not in a big hurry to go to a concert or something like that with a bunch of random people. You know, when I go to a points meet and hang out in my tote room and go up and make some runs and race, yeah, I think I would. I don't know. So, all right, well, let's move on here. You know, just some other things I think worth mentioning. You know, Bader comes out a few weeks back, puts a video on Facebook, does a Facebook Live, basically saying that he's opening no matter what. And
I mean, great.
He didn't care.
Kudos to him for the marketing scheme on that. I mean, we all called that was a total bullshit line, you know. But, I mean, good for him getting people thinking about, you know, Summit Motorsports Park. Because, you know, I live, you know, 90 miles from Norwalk, 45 minutes from Toledo. And for 2 weeks on Channel 11 Toledo, that shit was on like every other day. You know, is Bill Bader going to open up this week? Hey, we're at, you know, Summit Motorsports Park. They had the guy, the chopper flew down in there, and they're looking at it, and, you know, all because he made this, you know, I'm going to defy statement. It's on the news for basically 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden here, was it last week, kind of is like, well, you know, we're going to see what the state's got to say, and, you know, he kind of backpedaled a little bit on it, you know. But, I mean, it's really, really good marketing for him. I mean, he really didn't lose anything there, I don't think, because a lot of people agree with him. A lot of people want the stuff opened up, you know, and, you know, it makes him look like, you know, he's the guy that's, you know, getting it done. You know, like,
yeah,
he's going to fight the system and this and that. So, I mean, to be honest, it's a good play for him because really, for his playing to his clientele, he can't lose on that call. He can't, you know.
Yeah, and I just looked the video up. That video has had 415,000 views.
That's what I mean. You know, I mean, everybody was talking about
this. So, yeah,
this.
Man, kudos to him. Marketing genius. Perfect timing. You know, I think it was a bit of a publicity stunt. I think, you know, there was some stuff in there that I definitely didn't agree with. You know, he talked about losing all this money. At the end of the day, like, you know, we had snow last week. We didn't lose any money. We ain't racing yet. It's just starting to get nice enough here in Ohio to actually race.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
is it going to be a rough season for him? Yeah, I'm sure it is. Like, no question. But, yeah, I mean, so, end of the day, you know, marketing genius. I think any publicity, you can get 415,000 people to talk about drag racing in some motorsports park in Norwalk. I think most of that's good publicity. So, I think that was good. But at the end of the day, I don't think he was that serious. I think he was just kind of thrown out there to see, you know, what stuck, see what the reaction was. And if you followed his Facebook page and kind of watched since then, it's been zero or backtrack. Hasn't done a Facebook Live. Promised that he'd do one every week. Has not done one since. And I think, you know, I think at the end of the day, they're going to have to comply with the government and the suggestions like everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, we heard a decent little rumor that DeWine, after he made that, pretty much the state police said, well, here's the deal. You know, and I don't know if there's any truth to this, but this was kind of the rumor mill. You know, the state police said, yeah, go ahead and open up. You know, we're going to set up a roadblock, you know, right there at both entrances of the track, and anybody with a truck and trailer is going to get a $500 fine, and nobody's getting in, you know. So,
yeah,
I think
somebody told me a long time ago, yo, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission.
Correct.
And what he did neither of that. He said he was going to break the law, basically. So,
correct.
But in reality,
you know, it's tough to beat the government at their own game anytime.
Yeah. So anyway, so just to kind of go with the news, you know, he made a bold statement, said he was going to open no matter what, but he wasn't ready to open either for 4 to 6 weeks, depending on which part of that you listen to. So great publicity stunt. It was all that anybody talked about in racing for a while. But looks like it's not going to happen. You know, there's been a lot of talk about doing some bracket racing, you know, in the next week or two. There was a pretty big bracket race that was scheduled for this weekend at Killcare Raceway in Ohio. They then midweek moved it to Muncie, Indiana, Muncie Drag Strip. And I just looked here before we jumped on to do the podcast. It has since been canceled. So that is not happening. I did see from some of the Stock Superstock guys posting on Facebook out in the Iowa, Nebraska area, there are some tracks that are opening for some testing soon, supposedly. So, you know, I think it will slowly start to open up a little bit. Jeff Ross announced last week with the Buckeye record, or the Buckeye Stock Superstock series that he was looking at doing a track rental in mid-May to have their opening race. I think that's interesting. I think that's a good idea, maybe a way to kind of get around some of the rules. But, again, wouldn't be surprised if that gets canceled as well.
Yeah, I mean, I like the outside of the box thinking on that. You know, hats off to Jeff on that, trying to get that going. I think it's just going to be too early. Really, I just really don't see any of these tracks opening up, man, before June 1st, just with these states the way they are. And, you know, I think Ohio, are restaurants back open in Ohio now or not, Aaron?
No, they're not.
And supposedly, well, I thought last Friday that was supposed to be lifted, somebody told me.
No, they are not lifted and not going to be for a while.
Okay.
Next, on Monday here in Ohio, they are allowing basically businesses to open back up, manufacturing and distribution businesses, places like that, some small businesses, you know, Main Street USA type stuff, with some guidelines and strictness, but not opening the restaurants quite yet.
I just don't see any NHRA drag racing going on until these restaurants are open. I don't think those two venues are that far apart as far as, you know, time frame and timeline. I can't see them letting, you know, 10,000 people in a, you know, let's call it a 70-acre drag strip, and they won't let, you know, 35 people in a, you know, let's say 6,000 square foot bar. That's kind of where I'm basing my estimates off of.
All right. Well, let's next thing on my list, Charlie. What if you had to give a date? What is the first race you think NHRA will be back racing?
National events.
You can do both. Points meet and national.
I'm going to say national events is probably going to be, well, I mean, it depends on if NHRA sticks with their deal where they have to have fans. Because let's see here.
I think they have to, or the math doesn't work.
Because the math doesn't work. So you got Gainesville, I don't think it's going to happen. And then what's after that? Nope. Bristol?
Yeah, Bristol.
Bristol is a possibility. Norwalk's a possibility. I think it's all going to depend on what happens in the next 10 days. If we see this thing hold steady where it's at and nothing real, no major flare-ups, I think Norwalk and Bristol have a potential of going on. I honestly don't see I'm still sticking by my original, you know, guesstimate, which is after 4th of July. I think they want to try to keep shut down until around that 4th of July, you know, time frame.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want anybody to travel on Memorial weekend, you know. So, and I think it's a state by state. I think if you get out in the middle of Iowa, like in Earlville, I mean, you could probably have a Stock Superstock combo out there, or at, you know, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. you know, or, you know, something like that. But, you know, are you going to have, you know, and to be honest, the race in Chicago, because Chicago is so screwed up with these liberals and Democrats, that Chicago land, it may not open up to at all this year. You know, we could have to see, we could see them moving the All-Star race to a different venue, or, you know, I could see them somehow. I feel like that race in Columbus is just going to be a clusterfuck. So
yep.
I feel like there's going to be, if something happens in Chicago, you know, that's where the old All-Star race was, and it's a Jets
yeah,
deal.
Right. Yep.
I could see that. I could see them trying to squeeze that in there just under stupidity. You know, it doesn't make any sense to the racer, but, you know, from a JEG standpoint and everybody else's standpoint, it makes perfect sense. And to be honest, I really think that they're really missing the ball not having that All-Star race at the Sports Nationals anyways. I mean, let's face it. There's no fans that can give two shits or even know what's going on Saturday for that All-Star race, other than the racers and people they've brought, you know. So let JEGs have a big to-do with it, man. It's close to their facility. You know, people can come in and do that. That's really where that race should be anyways, in my opinion. You know, Chicago is never really – I never understood why they had a Chicago. It's kind of a – I don't think it has the same – I went to some TRW races at Trails,
mm-hmm.
and then when they moved to Chicago, and even talking with, like, Emmonses and guys that have traveled from out west, it doesn't have that same feel that it had – you know, had it Trails, because it was at Trails for so many years. It's kind of like, you know, going back to Bowling Green for the Sports Nationals. I don't care what anybody says, that race at Bowling Green has got a way different feel than it does at Trails. You know, there's just something about going to Bowling Green around the Sports Nationals versus going to Trails around the Sports Nationals. I don't know if it's a nostalgic thing or, you know, the covered bleachers or, you know, the theme park beside it, but there's just something that facility has that, you know, screams, you know, Sports Nationals where it was originated.
Yeah, I think, you know, this season's always going to be a little different, but I think the Sports Nationals in the summer will be better. I think it's a good date. It'll be hot, you know, but I think...
They tried this back in, like, 2006, 2007. It'd be a million degrees there. Everybody would be miserable. You'll sweat your ass off. And everybody will bitch you they're not coming back. They tried this, you know, I want to say it was 2007. They did it in July. And everybody bitched and moaned because it was not, it's just like going to Chicago, you know, in July. It's you know, just 99 degrees, 95 degrees, 90% humidity. Nobody's out in the pits having fun. Everybody's sweating their ass off in the race car. And, you know, everybody's just miserable. So... Yeah, when they move that race to the fall.
Don't be negative, Charlie. I'm excited.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I guess if I lived an hour and a half away from it, I'd probably be a little more excited too. But
I live three, to be fair.
You know, but I think that race in the fall is a way better deal. But
yeah, no, I agree. It's not too bad. All right, well, you didn't really answer the question. Danced around a little bit, gave four or five answers.
What was the first 4th of July race?
Okay.
4th of July.
I'm just looking at the divisional schedule right here. You got Numidia June 5th and PA.
You're not gonna do shit in Pennsylvania in May or June.
Division two, their next divisional race isn't until September unless they change something. That's not happening.
They may have some national opens because they got a couple of them doubles banged around.
Yeah.
They may kind of move one of them to June.
Sports National, Columbus, July 18th, I think. Just looking at the schedule, I think that's definitely Division One, Division Three out here. That's probably going to be the first race. I don't think Norwalk National will happen. You know, out like Tulsa, Oklahoma in June, maybe, you know, I don't know. I think the West Coast will be slow to start back up as well.
But what are you going to do about the divisional? Because you're going to run into a problem. Let's say everything goes hunky-dory, and let's say we start back up middle of June, right?
Yep.
How are you going to make these points meets up? I mean, you've already killed two in Division Three. You're going to kill a couple in Division One, and there's no free weekends because NHRA is going to ram these national events down everybody's throat, you know, at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, all they can do is do doubles, or they could say, hey, division champs, the best 3 out of 5 or 3 out of 6 or something. Or I could see them just saying, you know what, we're not doing division points this year. I don't know. there's no good answer to that question.
Here's my prediction if it goes this far. If we get to the 4th of July and we ain't raced up, and here's my prediction. NHRA yep. crams 13 to 15 national events right in a row or maybe splits a couple weekends apart. They cancel all the division races, and if you want to run national events for grading points, that's great, but there's no points for anything except for they'll have a champion for alcohol, funny car, alcohol dragster, and maybe top sportsman, top dragster, but I doubt it. And everybody else will just be their normal thing, and they're just going to scrap this. Whatever you had for grading points in 2019, that's what you had in 21. If it gets to, you know, if we go another – you know, let's say 45 days, and this doesn't, you know, clean out a little bit.
Yeah, no, I mean, I you know, like I said, there's no good answer to that. I thought about it a lot. Wouldn't be surprised if they do that. Wouldn't be surprised one of the things I mentioned. But, man, I don't know. All right, well, I'm going to go with July 18th is my NHRA start date. So,
man,
we're pretty close.
You're pushing it back farther than I am. Wow.
There's not much the first weekend of July, so I think it's that Columbus race, I think, would be good. Not saying I necessarily agree. I'm just saying that's what I think of that. All right, so we promised listeners like a 30 to 40 minute podcast here, and we're about 35 minutes.
I mean, they can stop whenever they want. Doesn't matter to me.
That's true. So I got one more thing that I want to have a little fun with you on. So right. You know, we talked about sports, like nothing's on TV at all. I used to watch the Sports Center, you know, I'm getting ready in the morning and sometimes when I'm going to bed and that sort of thing. And for like 3 straight weeks, all they talked about was Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay. I mean, like literally every time you turn on Sports Center, Tom Brady. So then comes along this wonderful documentary called The Last Dance on Michael Jordan and the Bulls. Okay.
Oh, man, I was hoping you were going to say Joe Exotic.
I'm trying to keep it somewhat sports related. I did watch The Tiger King. It is a train wreck. If you haven't watched The Tiger King, you should definitely check it out on Netflix. You'll get sucked in. It's stupid, yes. Yes, I think Joe Baskin killed her first husband.
all I'm going to say is free Joe Exotic. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, what's that? Leave Joe Exotic for another podcast. I have a whole other opinion on that. But, okay, back to The Last Dance. So, if you haven't watched The Last Dance, it's on ESPN on Sunday nights. They've currently run the first 4 episodes in the last 2 weeks. I'm not sure how many episodes there are. I'd say they're probably halfway. It's actually really good. It's one of the better sports documentaries I've seen. They do a really good job kind of bouncing.
Was it better than Aaron Hernandez one?
Absolutely. It really is good. You know, they talk now, they talk then. And it's a great story, right? You know, the Chicago Bulls went from mid-80s being, you know, one of the worst teams in the NBA and had been for a long time to, you know, in 91 going and winning 6 championships in the next, 7-8 years. So, great story. You know, I grew up, obviously, you know, liking basketball and Michael Jordan and things like that, but definitely didn't know the details. So, I really enjoyed it. But in this latest episode, Charlie, so I got to get on you a little bit, being a Michigander up there.
Basketball, so you already lost me.
No, okay, so in 91, the Bulls finally beat Detroit for the first time to go to the NBA Finals.
Bill Laimbeer.
Yeah, Bill Laimbeer, the Detroit Pistons, they left the court 8 seconds to go, didn't shake hands. You know, it's been a bad deal ever since, got a lot of crap for it. And Isaiah Thomas did not make the 92 Olympic Dream Team. And a lot of people,
I believe snub is the correct terminology there.
Snub, okay. So, since you're known as the Michigan Mafia in Michigan, you guys up there, in the Stock Super Stock rank.
Just like you.
Just like you. You're in the Michigan Mafia up there.
Got it.
And I'm from Ohio, so I'm not in Chicago, not the Bulls, but we'll go Ohio. If you had to bring 5 stock, super stock, all-stars, kind of like basketball, 5 guys, down to Ohio for a little all-star race,
And
why we gotta go to Ohio? Why can't they come to Michigan?
We can do it in Michigan. We're neutral fight. We'll go to Indiana. Name the five stock superstock guys that you'd bring. Now here's the stipulation: they gotta live in Michigan. They gotta live in Michigan today. They don't necessarily have to be like the most active racer, but they still have to have a car. It can't be a driver.
Okay.
And you know, it doesn't have to be a guy that's been killing it recently. You can just bring whoever you want. Five
guys. Do I have to be on this team or not?
Yeah, you got to be on the team.
All right.
You only got to pick four
other guys to throw in the trailer with me. Well, I mean, I'm taking Brad Z. He's on pretty much any team that I'm putting together. We'll take K-Dog, Kevin, his cousin. He's crafty. He finds a way to go some rounds. He may not get it done at national events, but he does find ways to go rounds. So that's three. Let's see here. I could take Zach, go some rounds. Anzello is good in the Cobra Jet, you know. I'm going to take Nowicki for sure, you know, neutral site.
Yeah,
he's racing all the time. I'm gonna take Mark on that team. That's four, and I got to find one more.
Yeah, one more, because you're on there.
Let's see here. Winslow still drives pretty good. He's kind of hit and miss anymore. Let's see here. I'm gonna throw a wild card in there. You're not even gonna think of this guy, but I'm gonna put Dan Olding on that team.
Okay, yeah, Mr. Monte Carlo.
There's a guy. He don't race that much in the last 10 years, but when he goes to the track, he runs these combos we got, and he will wear people out. He's wore Brad out. He's wore me out. I mean, he's in that Monte Carlo. It's kind of a, you know, it's just he's real inconspicuous with that thing. It's a little 283. It runs a number all the time. He only goes 119, 121. But it goes down there. It never spins. You know, he never hardly breaks anything. He never makes a mistake. I mean, he doesn't run national events anymore. But, I mean, these division races, I mean, I think it was probably 10, 12 years ago. He only went to, like, three races, and he finished, like, seventh in the division because he was building a house. So
nice.
I asked him, I said, Dan, why didn't you go? He's like, well, you know, I was building the house. And he's like, you know, I got wrapped up in that points thing a long time ago and went to all eight of them and finished like third, you know, out of first by like 6 points. And he said, I'm not chasing that stuff anymore. Honorable mentions, you know, Zach's up there. Zach drives good. You know, Jimmy drives good. You know, who else we got? Keiko could be on that team. He's the all-star rep. He probably could. He's definitely got an argument to be on that team. What else we got west side of the state? I'm trying to think who we're missing here. You know, Mike Lyons probably, you know, hit
and miss. That's a cool name. He still has his car.
He still has his car. I mean, in the IHRA days, he was really competitive. You know,
yes, he was.
I'm trying to think of, you know, just stuff out of the blue here. Mike Lyons, you know, Jim Clark's down there. Who else we got? I know I'm missing somebody. So there's a name there. You know who else? You know, we got old, you know, Big Sam's been driving good with that new Cobra Jet out by us. You know, he's won a couple of our combo races. You know, he's a good guy. You know, drives the wheels off that thing, man.
Your chassis builder is gonna be really mad at you when you listen.
Well, he doesn't own a car, so he's out right now. Uncle Mike. I mean, Uncle Mike. I'm sorry, but you don't have a car right now. I mean, he sold his 08 Cobra Jet. I guess. Wagner's on there. He could run one of Wagner's cars because that's like a community car, you know, like two open mics.
All right, okay. So I'm gonna pin you down. Right. I heard Brad Z, Kevin Z.
Yep.
Z Cousins, Mark Nowicki, excellent pick.
Yep.
Chucky D, you're stuck on there.
Yep.
And Dan Olding.
I'm gonna stick with Olding, man, because I just feel like he's such a wild card. People just don't realize how good of a driver he is because he just doesn't race that much. You know, he
nice.
I think I raced him twice in a combo last year, and dude, I mean, I had good packages, and I just was like, okay, I guess I'll go home with a, you know, 12 and dead on 9. Adios, Charles. You know.
All right. So, okay. Well, I didn't think about this too much. I just thought about
this
proposition here right before we did the call. But, okay, so I got myself. That's the
yep.
stipulation. I am going to go with Brian Merkel.
Yep.
I feel that he's pretty crafty. Knows how to win races. Done very well.
Yep.
I am going to go with Jeff Ross.
Good pick.
Because over the years, man, I've raced him a lot in IHRA. The Ross family. They're all
yeah,
tough. But Jeff, I'd probably give Jeff the nod. He won the NMCA race last year. It seems like he wins 3 or 4 stock super stock races a year. You know, doesn't really get out on the NHRA tour that much.
Yep.
But he's tough. He's tough in that stocker. I think he's owned that car since high school, so he's got to get it figured out. Okay, so I got Brian, Jeff, myself, Craig Marshall. I got to take Craig Mack. Raced with Craig Mack for years back in the IHRA days. And, he can be as tough as it gets if he gets out and races a little bit.
Yeah, it would be nice to see Craig come out of retirement, you know.
Two-time IHRA world champ, stock and super stock. And, you know, it seems like every couple of years he'll go to a couple divisionals and be in the top couple and never good enough to actually finish it off, with work commitments and family and stuff. But man, we're going to an all-star race. We get a few laps to get him warmed up. He's definitely on the team.
Yeah, you could put him back in the old modified car and get Chucky or Taz out of storage and stuff in there, and he's as tough as anybody, man, with that Super C Mod Grand Am.
Yeah, so we're taking Craig Mack. Okay, so that's 4. I need one more. Let's see, man. Nyswanger's pretty tough.
That's, you know, he just won his first national event here 2 years ago at Bowling Green. That's a good choice. Yeah, you got
I'll name a couple. Nyswanger, Antrobius.
Yep.
Andy Kronenberg.
Is he still living in Ohio?
He is back in Ohio last time I heard.
Okay.
I think. So, who am I correct about? Tom Russell can be pretty tough. Bob Lowry, he was a bit of a sleeper there. It was tough for many years in IHRA, and when he first started running IHRA, has not done as good recently. I'm going to go Jeff Nyswanger. So Jeff Nyswanger, Brian Merkel, myself, Craig Mack, and Jeff Ross.
That's a good team.
And I'm sure I'm leaving somebody off that's awesome. So, sorry. But that's my top of the mind team right now. And for everybody that's listening to this, in the comments on Facebook or Class Racer, you know, if you're from a state, let's see your team. And next guest we get on here, we'll have to ask him this question. So there's a heads up, it's coming.
So yeah, I mean, if anybody hasn't listened to the Cal Method interview Mike D did, I mean, that was really well done. It's a 2-part deal. Cal's got some great stories. I think he's also did he do Dave Wortman yet or not?
Yeah, so that shows how many of the podcast Charlie's listened to here.
Yeah, I'm a busy man fixing junk, you know, now that I'm unemployed.
But no, we last week we launched Al Corda is launched. Mike did a podcast with interviewed Dave Wortman, also very interesting. The Cal Method is a 2-part. It's a little long, but it's very interesting. I hope someday that I get to meet Cal because he sounds like a really cool guy. So with not a ton of racing going on, Charlie's and I aren't going to do this quite as often, but we are going to do a few interviews. I got a few guys, a few older racers lined up. And Mike's actually done several. We got several more recordings just sitting in my computer and in the inbox ready to load up. But he's got some really, really good interviews done already and a few more in process. So getting a lot of really good feedback on that. If there's anybody you'd like to hear from, definitely let us know. I think, unfortunately, a lot of these racers are getting you know, up there in age, and they're starting to retire and not be as involved. And I think it's a really cool project, kind of getting some of these guys' stories, you know, on a recording and letting, you know, all the racers kind of learn about the yesteryear. So it's been a fun project.
No, I agree. It's been real interesting, especially for people that aren't, you know, as, you know them as well as we do.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, well, that's it. We were only 10 minutes past what we promised. So blame Charlie if you're still listening. And, you know, just want to hope everybody stays safe out there, be healthy, and looking forward to seeing y'all at the track in the near future, hopefully. And if not the near future, sometime this year. So
that's right.
That concludes the Class Racing Podcast. Please remember to visit racetoolsdirect.com for all of your tools and equipment needs.